Ladies and gentlemen, it is showtime. Please welcome the team of the Fulhamish podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a very happy Jack and Joe show. To those of you watching us as usual on YouTube, welcome. Hopefully it's going to be a fun one. But to those of you also joining us on the podcast feed for this week, welcome as well. If you do like our content, please do come and join us on YouTube. We have a barrel of laughs every single week. Jack Kelly, how are you doing?
No, very, very well. Thank you, Joe. And thanks for everyone for listening and watching. Joe, bloody hell. Fulham 3, Tottenham Hotspur 0. I caught you at half time when the score was 1-0. Your head was hot for other reasons other than the football because we couldn't find you for about 7 minutes. We spent half of half time wondering where you were. And then you turned up and your sister gave you a talking to, and your head was very hot. It was redder than the sun. The sun's not red. Sorry, it was redder than a tomato.
Well, it was more red than the sun regardless, I suppose. But my head was warm. So thank you, Alistair McIntosh, for the wonderful facilities at Craven Cottage that meant I lost my sister for a long amount of time for no particular reason. That being said, I was just saying to you at halftime, Jack, let's get the next goal. I don't know why I was concerned, because our performance was fantastic from the first minute until the end. I thought the atmosphere in the ground was wonderful as well, which is something we obviously push for quite a lot on this show. And in general, I thought it was just a classic under the lights Craven Cottage atmosphere where everyone was really up for it on the pitch and off the pitch from the start. And obviously, we poked a bit of fun at the Spurs fans. There were one or two in the comments that were quite humble and were saying, you know, they thought it was going to be a good game. We should point those out. But the overwhelming majority, both on our video and in general, were basically thinking this was going to be an easy Spurs win. And I don't know why. Completely agree with what Dan Cook said in the pod. For anyone that hasn't listened to it, it's definitely worth a listen. It was a wonderful analysis of the game. Very positive vibes, just like this video and this podcast. But he was pointing out that we've been in great form. And even when we lost against Wolves, it was a fantastic performance that definitely merited more, aside from a 20-minute spell when we weren't massively terrible. We were just probably second best for a short period of the game, which ultimately cost us. But we've been playing well. Spurs obviously played well against Villa. Aside from that, you know, they've been nothing special recently at all. You know, they got that late comeback win against Palace. Before that, they'd lost to Wolves. You know, it's been a bit up and down for them. So I don't know where this sort of sense of superiority came from, but I'm glad that we quashed it. And it was a performance that merited 3 points. I don't think that 3-0 flatters us in the slightest. I thought that we were well worthy of a margin of victory as big as that, or potentially bigger. And I loved everything about this game, Jack. I loved the way that we pressed. I loved the way that we took the game to Spurs, and our game plan was simple but effective. I loved pretty much every performance on the pitch. And I had a really, really, really good time. And that's what going to the football is all about. And as you very publicly said, Jack, you know, Europe's not impossible. We sort of said last week that we think that it's improbable, and I still stand by that. But let's face it, we've given ourselves a bit of a chance with our recent form. And if we play like that every week between now and the end of the season, I don't think we'll lose many.
No, I agree. I think I actually texted you this morning and I said, outside of the top six we're seeing in the Premier League right now, i.e. on the table, I think we're the best team outside of that top six. Wolverhampton Wanderers fans might have something to say about that. That's fine. West Ham may have something to say about that. That's fine. I think that was another club I mentioned. But in terms of the Brightons and the Newcastles, I think right now on form, we are the best team. So
100%.
Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City, Aston Villa, Spurs, they're a better team than us, of course, but we still beat them. And Manchester United, again, a better team, but we still beat them. We are the seventh best team in the league right now. Pure and simple. Absolutely pure and simple. People might say Chelsea. I think right now we are better than Chelsea on form. I'm delighted. Honestly, Saturday was up there with one of the best Fulham performances I've seen ever in the flesh. I mean, there's been plenty of really good ones. Of course, 14 years ago, yesterday, we beat Juventus 4-1. I don't think that could ever be topped, really, given the circumstances. But my goodness, and I harp it all the way back to the last league game where I think Fulham didn't play well at all was Chelsea away, and that was in January. Since then, I think we've put in some really good performances. Even the loss to Villa, I thought we were pretty good in the second half.
Agreed.
Even the loss to Wolves, I think we're the better team.
Agreed.
The draw to Burnley were the better team. We should have probably won the game. We were the better team against Everton, despite a late scare from Everton. And of course, we had the cup defeat to Newcastle. We weren't very good. And the draw with Liverpool in the EFL Cup second leg, we just didn't really get going on the night, and we ended up going out the cup. Since then, we've been brilliant. And honestly, we've been amazing to watch. Saturday was insane. I knew we'd get chances. You know you're going to get chances against the Spurs team the way they push everyone, their fullbacks so far forward. They then come into midfield. That then creates a space. And goodness me, we love bombing on fullbacks, right? Castagna, Robinson, yep. Tete, doesn't matter. Yeah? This was the perfect game for them. And that's why we saw an incredible game from Robinson. I think that's his best game in a Fulham shirt by a country mile. Absolutely brilliant. The way he intercepted the ball on the halfway line, created that chance. He then sort of like sauntered past all the players, put the ball across to Muniz. But the way he got past was just far too easy for me. Not that I was complaining. I thought everyone to a man, apart from maybe Pereira, who got a pre-assist.
Yeah.
And he did all right, but he did lose the ball on a few occasions. That was very frustrating. Apart from that, everyone was fantastic. Leno didn't have much to do. He kept a clean sheet. You'd love to see it. Bassi, Tosin, brilliant. Lukic, of course, I gave Robinson man of the match. Lukic, for me, was one of the standout. And Money Muniz. Honestly, I can't get enough of him. He's taken the Premier League by storm. 7 goals in 7. He's the joint top goal scorer in the Premier League in 2024. It's the most remarkable rags-to-riches story I've seen at Fulham. I can't remember a revival like this from a Fulham player. Or can I? I can't remember. You'd have to put it down in the comments below, Joe. Or
yeah, I mean, the only one that is, I think, comparable is Chris Baird, but that's a very different situation, right? Where they're not a goal scorer, and it's more someone that was sort of cut aside from the squad, not really rated very heavily by the fan base or the manager, really. And the perception just completely changed. Whereas this is someone that, let's face it, couldn't hit a barn door a month and a half ago. You know, that Everton game, he comes on at half-time when Jimenez got injured, and he misses a fantastic chance, probably around the six-yard box, when he heads it straight at Pickford, either side's a goal. And, you know, we turn to the people around us and we go, you see, this is the problem. We need to upgrade. And let's get one thing very clear. At that point in time, there was nothing we had seen to suggest we were wrong. And that's what makes it even more incredible. Everything about this player has changed. His movements got better. His intelligence got better. His hold-up plays got better. His relationship with the fan has stayed the same. He's always been a lovable, lovable player. But we used to love him just because he wasn't, you know, he was the backup to Mitrovic. He was the second guy. He was the young guy that's come from Brazil that we were hoping would come good. Now we love him, not only because of his personality and how likable he is, but because he is simply doing the business. And he's not doing it on a one-off basis. He's not doing this against poor defences in the EFL Cup, in the FA Cup, for example. I know that Van de Ven was injured and Dragosin came in for Tottenham, but, you know, he was up against Romero. That is no mean feat. I think
he's good, Romero, yeah.
I think that he's an absolute bastard, but he's a pretty good defender when he wants to be. Yeah. And I loved the battle that he had with him. Just wonderful. And Jack, they were two very different goals. There was one that was a well-held run, nice control and finish, very calm.
Great finish.
The other one was just poacher's instinct, and it's both of those that we need in a striker. Mm.
Yeah, it was similar to the goal he scored against Bournemouth, where he sort of got there first ahead of the defender. He got clattered. It would have been a penalty if it hadn't gone in, right? But to get there and to have the tenacity to get there and get another goal. And did he come off of an injury concern? Perhaps. But we're lucky now we've got an international break. He hasn't been called up to Brazil as it stands. So he'll have that break and he'll be ready to go for our next game against
Sheffield United. Blake
now. The Blades. Yes, exactly. Honestly, what a player, what a guy. And, you know, Marcus said it a few times in his post-match press conferences and his interviews with television. He basically said, we know the story. He came here, couldn't speak a word of English, learned English, you know, luckily around a lot of Brazilian teammates, Portuguese teammates who can speak the language, you know, William Pereira, Vinicius, Silva himself, Pat Paulinia, and now not only is his English come on leaps and bounds, but his football's come on leaps and bounds. Honestly, it's a brilliant story, and to score goals at this level takes everyone's attention. It grabs headlines. It makes you look like an absolute superstar. To do it on the prime 5:30 on the box against a top six team, and the way he took the ball and the way he finished, that's for me. Oh, I know that he chipped the keeper in Trafford at Turf Moor. That was his best goal for me. Well, brilliantly taken. Because the goal against Brighton, it's all about the ball from Wilson. The goal against Bournemouth, it's all about the ball from Willian, the second goal he scored. He just has to guide it in with his leg. He guides it in with his foot, and his head. But this was taking it down, shooting across the keeper, 1-0 Fulham. And then Sasha Lukic, whether he meant it or not, doesn't matter. Great instincts, good finish, brilliant cross from Castagna. Honestly, and then the move to create the corner for the third goal when Castagna almost scored. Brilliant. Ball from Pereira. Very good.
Yeah.
And then Paulinho wins the header. Bassi almost scores like a very similar goal to what he scored against Man United. Hits the post and there's Muniz to score. If only that Paulinho goal, or I think it came off Jimenez, counted. We were going nuts. And obviously the flag goes up and that one's chalked off. And then Spurs had their chances. In fact, Spurs had their chance in the first half. Son and Maddison should have done better. Well, Maddison's a very clever finish. But by the time Spurs actually ramped it up on us in the second half, the game was gone. And we were the better team in the first half. It sort of evened out towards the end. But then we got the goal. Then we took the game away from them by scoring early in the second half. And Joe, I honestly can't believe how good we are. I can believe it because we've got the players, and also everyone was available. So three first teamers had to miss out. But talking about this squad depth, talking about the players we didn't even bring on Saturday, Traore and Kearney.
That's the thing. I saw them warming up and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, if we needed to, we could go to town right now bringing on these players and just go hell for leather. And we did sensible rotations. We freshened up when we needed to, when Spurs started to get a little bit more impetus. You know, I didn't think they were going to come back, but they started to get on top a little bit, partly due to just the game state, the fact that we were 3-0 up. We didn't have to do anything major to stay in the ascendancy. But, you know, like you say, Jack, you need to earn a little bit of luck when playing the top six teams in terms of they are always going to have chances regardless of how poor they are. On another day, Spurs probably go 1-0 up through someone like Son or Maddison, but they didn't. They didn't take that chance. Mm-hmm. And we took ours, and it's fantastic. Like you say, the last time we probably played poorly in the Premier League was against Chelsea. I really wish we turned up against them like we did this.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, we can't complain. I've seen people comparing last season to this season in terms of what's been
fun. We do it every week.
Yeah, we do it literally every week. And I think some of the highs this season have been better than the highs last season, other than Chelsea, obviously beating Arsenal, getting the draw at the Emirates, getting the draw against Liverpool. Obviously wasn't ideal in the circumstances in terms of the semi-final, but we also ran them close twice at Anfield. We also got the win against Spurs on Saturday, but also in the Cup. And obviously we won at Old Trafford, which is just sensational. Our squad is really, really strong. And what we wanted to do now that we are, let's face it, I'm going to say it, I'm not even going to touch Chris Wood. We are safe. We are not going down. That is simple.
There's no way we're going down.
No. We're looking ahead to next season. And what we've both done is we've made a list of the squad. And we're going to go through, as of right now, who would we keep, who would we sell, who would we loan out? If we've had loan players, would we try and get them again? The players that are returning from their loans, for example, Stansfield, Harris, what would we do with them next season? And Jack, we'll see where we agree, disagree, and please let us know in the comments. Doesn't have to be all of them, but maybe a few players that you disagree with us on. Who would you look to bring in to replace any of them? But Jack, I think we should start off with probably the easiest positions on the pitch, and it's the goalkeeper situation. Start with Bernd Leno.
You want to go position by position?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. You want to go first with the goalkeepers?
Leno, keep.
Yep.
Rodak, one that I'm not too bothered about, but I'd probably say sell for his own for his own sake, really, be a first team goalkeeper elsewhere. Bender, keep, and then Wickens, bring him back from the loan. There's your three.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Wickens is now part of your first team sort of squad.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to wholesale agree with that.
Okay.
Leno, keep. I put Rodak, sell. And I put a fee of £6 million.
£6 million, okay.
I think that's reasonable. I mean, I think he'll go to a top-tier championship team. Yeah. Either Luton Town went down for Nottingham Forest. Well, hey, if they went down...
Yeah.
You know, I can see them maybe going for someone like that. A championship level striker, or maybe he'll go to Serie A. I could see him in Serie A. And Bender, keep Wickens. I've now added him as, yeah, I'm all aboard.
Bring back.
The keep train.
That was pretty easy.
Yeah.
Defenders. I still think this is overall something we'll agree on.
Sure.
Let's go through. I'll go from right to left. So, Castagne, keep.
Mm-hmm.
Tete, keep.
Mm-hmm.
Centre halves. Tosin, please keep if we can.
Yep.
Bassi, obviously keep.
Yeah.
Diop, I said keep, but I do think he is depth rather than a starter. Obviously, it depends on what happens with Tosin. If Tosin does go, I think we could do better than Diop, but I would keep Diop. Ream is a weird one where I've put coach because I think he's going to retire quite soon.
Right.
I would keep Ream. I wouldn't let him go. I'd keep him as depth, but I do think that at some stage soon he'll become a coach, most likely. And then left back, Robinson, please try and keep. And Balotore is someone that I put, try and sign again. I've liked what I've seen from him. I think if he's understudy to Robinson, I don't think we would want someone, you know, too much better. I think the Balotore is a nice backup to have, and I'm happy with him.
Yeah, it seems like we're on a similar path at the moment. Castagne, keep. Kenny Tete, keep. Tosin Adarabayo, keep. Just tie him down to a new contract. Calvin Bassey, keep. Issa Diop, I went with... where are we? Could sell, but rather keep.
Yeah.
I think it's rather keep.
We're probably on the same page here in that let's say we keep Tosin and tie him down to a new deal, and we've got Tosin and Bassey. I think we can 100% upgrade on Diop. 100%.
Right.
But it becomes less of a priority because our starting combination would be Tosin and Bassey, who would want to come to be, you know, backup. If Tosin was to go, I suddenly think that upgrading on Diop becomes more of a priority because we probably need someone to partner Bassey.
Yes. Okay. That could be an issue that will be apparent from very soon. I reckon Tosin will probably make a decision fairly soon, given it's nearing the end of the season. Then suddenly we have that time to sort of plan, and hopefully we can plan in good time. Ream, I just put keep for testimonial.
Fair enough.
But again, coach is a very good shout. I hadn't even thought of that. We will get on to Louis Bermorte a little bit later, of course.
Yeah.
And then left back. Now, I've said Robinson, keep, but demand 50 million.
Okay. Well, I think even if we've tied him down to that deal, I mean, why not?
Joe. Sorry. Yeah. I was thinking about this earlier when I sent you that voice note about Robinson earlier.
Yeah.
I thought one of the best bits of business we did last season was tie Robinson down to a 5-year deal because his value just, his contract extends and his value will be greater because he's got 4 more years on his contract. And the fact he's just had the most outstanding performance on live TV, I think someone mentioned it earlier. Alf tweeted that we should get 50 million and get Spinazzola, who we've been linked with today, on a free. Imagine making that £48 million profit we would make on Robinson, getting in a free left-back, who, let's argue, is a Champions League-level left-back in Spinazzola. And then moving on to Balotore, I just said, try a perm. I want to see more of Balotore.
Me too. I like what I've seen.
In agreement.
In agreement, 100%. Midfielders. Now, there's some here that I don't know if they should go down as midfielders or forwards. Let's just go with it. And speaking of, you said 4 more years for Robinson. As Donald Trump said, 4 more years. We'll go on to Polinia. keep simple. And I would go as far here as saying, just keep. I don't want to put a price on it. Keep.
Ooh, okay.
Lukic. Now, this is one that's changed recently. Keep. And I think that he's just the upturn in form, you know, recency bias, whatever. He's been fantastic. Harrison Reed, keep. I do think this is one that the board may not agree with. Ooh. And the reason I say that is I'm thinking about our midfielders. If we were looking to go to the next level, it wouldn't surprise me if Reed was one of those that made way. And the reason I say that is the lack of football he's had overall. I want to keep him. I love him being part of the squad. Thinking longer term, going to the next level, I don't know where his place is other than being a backup. Tom Kearney, keep. Alex Iwobi, keep.
Right.
Andreas Pereira, ka-ching, sell.
Oh, okay.
And the reason that I say that is because you absolutely wound me up on Saturday. No, it's obviously longer term than that. I think that when you look at our squad and you look at our starting 11, even when you look at our bench, I think that the position we can upgrade most easily are attacking midfielder and also right wing. And we'll go on to right wing in a minute. And I do think that we could upgrade Andreas Pereira. I think we could also get a good fee for him.
Right. Is that your midfield? Okay, right. Okay. This is really funny because we're just on the same wavelength at the moment. Paulinia, keep, and then hyphen, demand 60 million plus. I would rather... I don't know. I'd rather do horrible things than sell Paulinia. Oh, no. Probably not. But also, like, I just don't want to sell Paulinia. Okay?
Yeah.
He's, oh, mate, the perfect knee slide for a goal.
Oh, I know my God. That knee slide.
He patted the badge as well, I think I saw.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, no, Muniz did a lot of that.
He did.
Badge patting as well. Fantastic to see. Paulinia, keep, demand 60 million. Lukic, keep. I think we're seeing like this new sort of box to box, really good. I mean, the way they work, Paulinia and Lukic, I honestly saw and heard the Champions League theme. It was insane.
It was a lovely balance to it, wasn't it, really? Because we weren't sure on how that would work. We've seen it a couple of times this season, you know, Arsenal away and also at Tottenham away, ironically. And obviously, it was a very different game. Yeah. But the way they worked together was fantastic on Saturday.
Do you think that Lukic's plan and what he was told to do was just get after Maddison? Because Maddison didn't see much of the ball and he obviously had that one chance. Apart from that, Lukic was all over him.
They hated each other as well. I saw Lukic gave a bit of laughter to Maddison, who then returned the favour. Both fouls, neither of them got booked. And Lukic has since done an interview saying he wants to do the exact same in the world, in the Euros
with
Serbia play England, which is fantastic. But it's also unfortunate because Madison's not going to play. So Lukic is probably going to be doing that against bloody Kubi Mainu or whatever his name is. But Lukic, fantastic.
Well, he could do it to Cole Palmer and I'd be very happy with that.
Yeah, all day long, 100%. We'll still win, but you can do it against Palmer.
Yeah, I was thinking, oh God, I imagine Mitrovic scores against England at the Euros. Now I want Serbia to win because of Saša Lukic. That's obviously a joke. I support my country, obviously. We've gone on a tangent. Harrison Reed, keep. I am fearful we could see the last of Harrison Reed this summer. That would really be upsetting, actually. I think he's still a great squad player, and when he comes on, or even when he started against Man United, I mean, it was another stellar performance. And I think he hasn't been obviously as good as he was last season, I don't think, but he's a solid, solid player. Solid.
Yeah.
Love him to bits. Where are we? TC. I said, keep and build the statue.
Fantastic.
I think Tom Kearney is nearing a statue, and I don't think anyone would begrudge that. Honestly, what a man, what a player, what a guy. And then Pereira, I've said sell, and I've said £20 million. I think we can get £20 million from him. And this is the thing, and you're completely right, because I'm just going to repeat what you just said. We can upgrade that 10, and that will be the difference from us going from where we are now to the next level. If we have someone who's a little bit better at taking the ball down, looking what's around him and creating, I think actually Pereira's set pieces at the weekend were very good. His corner that led to the third goal, I'm happy with that. But I think just there's times where he's just a little bit too slow, loses the ball, and the attack ends in its frustration. And I think it's someone with a bit more quality who could play it out to the wide areas, drive forward with the ball, link it with the striker. I think Pereira is a good player at doing that, but we want a great player at doing that. And I think we can upgrade in the summer. £20 million would be a lovely, I think it would be a profit we'd make on Pereira.
It would.
And I think we should, I think our marquee signing this summer has to be a 10.
He doesn't do enough from open play in an exciting attacking team. One goal this season in all competitions, which is obviously against Arsenal, and obviously it was a wonderful goal. That's not enough from your main focal point behind the forward. You know, I think if we had Alex Iwobi playing in that free role behind, he would do a lot more damage. And as much as I like him a lot, I don't want to dig in on the guy. I think he's been a great signing over these last 2 years. I just think he's one of the most easily upgradable players in positions, like you said. Jack, Iwobi one that I realised... Of course, one I realised that I missed out, but you might go on to, is Luke Harris.
Ah, yes. Luke Harris, I said, where is he? Keep and then another loan.
Yeah, I said loan as well. And I'm starting to think, and we'll come on to probably debate this slightly more when it comes to Stansfield as well. But Harris, you know, currently on loan in League One.
Exeter. Scored again the other day.
Is he coming along enough for what we need?
Personally, no. But that's only because he's just got into men's football. Like, he's played a lot of academy football. And the problem is, if I'm just saying we need to upgrade the 10, there's no way in hell that Harris is going to be part of the first team squad.
No.
Because it's a downgrade. No disrespect to him whatsoever. I want him to do wonderful things for our club. But he's a downgrade on any other 10 we have as an option. So to have him as an option to bring off the bench, he'll get cup games. That's fine. He'll play in the EFL Cup. He'll play in the Papa John's Trophy or wherever, Bristol Street, whatever it's called now, Bristol Street Motors Tournament Cup, if we're in it next year. I just feel like another EFL loan for him would be good. Get some more men's football. He's slightly behind. He's about a year or so behind Stansfield. And what we saw from Stansfield is he's got this knack for goal scoring. Albeit we've seen it from Harris. He almost scored every week for the under-21s.
Yeah.
But then Stansfield's doing it for Birmingham City in the Championship. Whereas Harris is in League One. He scored a goal for Exeter. I want the best for him. Obviously, I want him to be around the first team squad. But because if we're trying to make that next step, I think he won't get us there personally. But I'm more than happy for him to be part of the squad. I just want him to get minutes so he can develop. That's all.
Yeah, I think maybe a Championship loan would be the next best step.
That's the next move,
Harris. Yeah. If we can get him, that'd be fantastic. And I think that's what we agree would be ideal. Should we go on to forwards, Jack?
Let's do it.
Okay, Rodrigo Muniz, keep, move on.
Okay.
Carlos Vinicius, sell, move on.
Right.
And I think we'll be in agreement there, but I'll wait for you afterwards. I'm just doing strikers first. So Jimenez, I would keep.
Okay.
Broja, at this moment in time, I would send back and not sign permanently. I don't think that's with any real disrespect to him. We haven't seen enough. Saw a nice cameo against Wolves, but ultimately, for the price that Chelsea want, I haven't seen anything that makes me think that we should be using our budget there.
Well, even if Broja went back to Chelsea, there's no way in hell they can quote the price they were quoting at the beginning of January.
True.
Because no progress has been made, no more goals have been scored. There's nothing against him, it's just about the way that Chelsea obviously need to sell players to balance the books, but you cannot be slapping 50 million on Broja.
No, and also personally, on a personal level, if you're Broja, do you want to come back? No, because it's been a waste of time. And I understand that completely. Jay Stansfield. Now, there's been a lot of clamour for him to be part of our striking options next year. But you, so you'll notice that I've said keep Muniz, keep Jimenez, and I obviously want three strikers. Okay. It's not Vinicius, it's not Brozier. I'm actually saying it's not Stansfield, if I'm being completely honest. And I would want Stansfield to have another loan top end of the Championship. And the reason that I say that is because he had a great start at Birmingham. They've fallen away with the whole manager debacles they've had this season, both what they could control and what they couldn't. I think he needs more football. I know that he might be coming back as a right wing option, but ultimately I would want us to sign another striker in addition to Muniz and Jimenez, to push Muniz all the way. Jimenez can be the sort of experienced backup, and Stansfield can get more action elsewhere. I think that would do him a lot better than being a backup for us. Sure. I will then move on to Willian, who I would want us to get at least one more year out of. He's still got the quality. He's still got the fitness. Keep. I'll move on to Adama Traore. I want to keep him. I think that he's a fantastic option off the bench. And then the final two, I'm going to group into one. And that's Bobby Di Cordova-Reed and Harry Wilson. Now, I love both of these players. I think we need to move on one of them, just in terms of filling out the squad. Both of them I consider to be our right wingers. Obviously, Wilson can play on the left or behind the striker. Obviously, Bobby Reed can play basically anywhere, which would make me probably want to keep Bobby Reed more than Wilson. Ultimately, like I said earlier, our two positions that I want us to upgrade are attacking midfielder and right wing. I think that we need to upgrade right wing, and I don't have too much of a preference who it's at the expense of, but there's no logic to keeping Bobby Reed, Wilson, Adama, and signing a new right winger, which means that if I'm not going to be a hypocrite, one of them has to go.
Oh my word. That's a dagger to the heart, that is.
It's rough to say, but ultimately we need to upgrade somewhere to push on.
I haven't logically thought this through the way you have in terms of the dilemma that we have. And of course it's true. And it's almost like I knew it in the back of my head. I just didn't want to face the facts. Well, we'll start with Muniz. I've said keep 8-year contracts. he's sensational. Honestly,
give him a Chelsea style contract. All right.
Amortization FC would be Fulham. Where are we next? Jimenez, keep. Even, you know, it's good to see him back on the pitch. It's a nice second option.
Yeah.
Vinicius, sell. Of course. I've said 4 million. 4 million. I think it's time. You know, he wasn't like Muniz is now our number one striker, I think, at this moment in time. I don't see Vinicius doing what Muniz has done. You never know, but I think we'll see that more in the Turkish league than the Premier League, if anything. This is getting trickier now. Jay Stansfield. Now then, keep, but demand 15 million as a permanent transfer. And then, of course, I'd be happy to loan him out as well. I want him to be part of the first team squad next season. Yeah. But then we talk about Harris. We talk about going to the next level. And somehow Stansfield doesn't really fit under that umbrella right now. But he's had a magnificent season at Birmingham, you know, better than I thought he was going to do. And Birmingham fans seem to love him. If they were to have him for another year, fine. But I want him to be, like you say, the number one striker, the number two striker at one of the best teams in the Championship. And then we'll see some big stuff from him.
Because I so nearly had him in our like three strikers that I've said. But I think logically, if you think about it, what would I prefer next season? Stansfield goes to a top six Championship team, plays every week, gets, let's say, 15, 20 goals, a fantastic return. Or would I rather him be back up for us, get about 5 Premier League goals coming off the bench up to that number and some contributions? Ultimately, one of them is better for his development and it's not being the backup.
Right. No, you're right.
In my opinion.
I wouldn't begrudge him a move permanently, because if Marco says to him, look, you're not going to be our main striker, you're going to be off the bench, you might get a few appearances here and there, you might play on the wing a few times, and then suddenly a Middlesbrough come in and say, look, we'll take him for 15 million. We think he's got potential. Not saying that Middlesbrough might be top six next season. I don't know. But they're a Championship team under a manager in Michael Carrick who plays decent progressive football, and a young English striker would fit the mould, I think. for Middlesbrough. That I've just completely over-explained it, but I wouldn't begrudge him. And that would be a really good academy, £15 million made from an academy prospect. And I think everyone would be quite happy with that. Albeit, I don't want that to happen. I want him to be part of our future, whether that be next season or on loan. Then again, I don't think he fits in this next stage sort of. He's not like an Evan Ferguson, where you've already seen it at Premier League level and you've gone, oh, actually, he's going to be part of it.
Yeah,
it's one of them ones where he just needs a couple more years, maybe one more year before he can start knocking on the first team door. But I'd still like to have him there or thereabouts.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Right, now onto the wingers. Willian, I literally said, where are we? One more year, keep one more year.
Yeah.
Which is fine. We've done a Wobi, that's fine. Okay, Traore, keep. Mate. Very good. And this is the same issue. But I've also just gone Wilson keep, BDR keep, Bobby Nicol over you. Because I like them. They are part of the furniture of our club. I don't think, and I thought you were about to say sell Wilson. I was about to hit the roof. Because fair enough, we can upgrade that position. But I love Wilson because he can play in the 10. So even if Pereira does go and we're taking a while to get in a 10, he can just slot in that position. Lovely left foot.
But I suppose, like you said earlier, Jack, as well, like, three first teamers missed out on Saturday when we had a fully fit squad. I know we won't always have a fully fit squad. And if we're pushing for Europe, we need a massive squad. Let's get that thing straight as well.
Yeah.
But if you are, Wilson or Reed, do you want to be that 26th man that's missing out, for example?
No. We are trying to actively tie Bobby Reed down to a new contract. So he's part of the plans. That doesn't necessarily mean that Wilson's not. I think Wilson is, like, I think he's one of our best players in the squad. Every time he's on the pitch or not on the pitch, I'm thinking, get Wilson on. He'll create something. That goal against West Ham, amazing. Yeah. That goal against Brighton, very well taken. Good assist this season. I think losing Wilson, a player like Wilson, we lose a lot of creativity. And I know you're right. We need to upgrade that area of the pitch. If anything, I'd upgrade the left side because Willian, another year, like, great. He's really good, Willian. He's been brilliant. Class is permanent. That was what I was trying to say. But, and I know Wilson can play on the left as well. But actually, do you think Willian's going to be playing 25, 30 games next season? I mean, again, I could be wrong. This is a good thing. It's not a bad debate we're having right now.
No.
It's like, wow, look at all these quality players we have. It's so difficult because if we want to upgrade, we have to get rid of them or we have to shun them to the side. And that's not a nice feeling, of course, because we've got emotional attachment to these players who are giving us a lot of happiness right now. But another left winger, and I know obviously linked with Shirky, and we might go back for him in the summer, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. I think he can play either side as well. That, for me, would make more sense if we were to lose Robinson. That would affect the chemistry with Willian, and then suddenly Spinazzola, or I'm plucking Spinazzola like he's signed permanently or whatever. But there will be some change down that left hand side, and maybe a left winger will be what we look at to bring in. But Joe, it's been a good debate.
Yeah,
it's been a healthy debate. It's just shows the signs that we are in a really good place right now.
We are, and please do let us know in the comments or. Let us know on social media if you're listening to the podcast. You know, you can find me at FFC Joe and Jack. I'm Jack Kelly as well. Let us know, what would you change? Who would you keep? And if you are going to remove players, remember, you're not removing them for the sake of it. Who would you upgrade them with? Is there anyone you're promoting from within? A youth player? Someone that's been on the sidelines previously? Are you looking to sign anyone? I've seen shouts for Morgan Gibbs-White if Forest go down. I've seen Taiwo Awoniyi. As well as the striker. You know, there's loads of shouts. Let us know what you think, because when it comes to the summer, we're going to be making loads of transfer content. We want to know who to keep an eye out for and who to speak about, who to basically promote to Tony Khan, who definitely watches our videos before signing players.
Definitely watches.
To get in his ear. You know what? Maybe if we brand it, you know, WWE or something, he might watch us, Jack. But
Wacken, whoa. EO.
The whack and woe EO. Yes. But Jack, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Needs to be a couple of things we need to talk about before we go.
Oh my God. Luis Boamorte.
Yeah. Louis Boa-Morte leaving.
What am I even speaking about? Trying to wrap things up when he's trying to wrap things up, going to be the bloody head coach. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Guinea-Bissau.
Yeah.
Guinea-Bissau.
Unbelievable.
I didn't see this coming. I don't think anyone saw this coming. However, I don't know. The reaction was interesting because it was like, oh, this might take a huge effect. I don't think it affects much. However, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't know what the sort of influence he has in the dressing room. We've seen it on the pitch in terms of when he comes over to the players and he sort of puts an arm around them and seems to be a great camaraderie there. We'll miss that, and we love him. And honestly, this is really sad because obviously he's a player for us. He was a player for us. Now he's a coach for us. And within that time, on the pitch, off the pitch, we've done really, really well. So he's been a great asset to this football club across the years he's been there.
I mean, from a personal point of view, fantastic news for him in terms of he's starting his head coach career again. And, I honestly hope he does fantastically well there. I was really sad when I saw the news because it means that his attachment with the club is coming to an end again. And obviously that's very sad. He's an integral part of the staff. We don't know in the day-to-day, you know, how much input he has. It's really hard to comment when a coach that isn't the head coach goes because we don't know how integral they are day to day. We only see on match days and in, you know, Motspur Park life, doing the drills and stuff. But very, very interested to see who we get as his replacement. Hope he gets a fantastic reception in the remaining games. I'm sure he will.
Oh, absolutely.
And maybe the club could plan something, or we as fans could plan something for the final home game or the away game at Luton. I've seen the call for the Equatorial Guinea flags to be not the Equatorial Guinea flags, the Guinea-Bissau flags. That's me being an idiot. In the away end, the same as we had the Serbia flags in the Southampton away end last season
for Saša Lukić,
for Saša Lukić and no one else. it would be wonderful. Wishing him all the best. It was a bit of a bombshell. I don't think it's anything severe in terms of, I'm nervous that Marco Silva is going to go because he committed.
Someone suggested that on Twitter and I was like, surely not. Andre, surely not.
Marco's committed. You know, he hasn't committed because Boa-Morte's there. Obviously, that's a key part of it, but it's not the reason.
That will be one of the first questions, I'm sure, of the next press conference, a word on Boa-Morte. If, you know, those at Sky and PLP have done their research, I won't be there. Otherwise, I would have been, asking Marco those questions myself. But it was a bit of a shame. It kind of took me by surprise, actually, and a 6 p.m. bomber that you do not want to be seeing.
Bomber, yeah.
It was a bomber. And I just want to finally get your thoughts on some huge Premier League news. Nottingham Forest -4.
Of course.
I know it doesn't affect us at all, which is amazing. However, it does change the landscape of things. And you mentioned Morgan Gibbs-White and you mentioned Taiwo Awoniyi. Murillo would be someone I would absolutely adore to have down the sausage. But I think this is huge news.
It certainly makes the fight for survival even more interesting than it already is. And it makes Luton's equaliser, against Forest, even bigger than it already was on Saturday.
Absolutely.
You know, a massive swing, that is. That's them going from 2 points at another 3 points ahead of Luton to same as they were before Saturday to now going 4 points behind and being in the relegation zone. And obviously they've got two massive games coming up, firstly at home to Palace, but then at home to us.
They're away at Palace.
They're away at Palace, sorry, Forest. I thought they were at home in both.
They are at home. I've got that completely wrong.
Okay, you know what? So did I, because I tried to wrap up the show literally before we'd gone on to two massive topics, so don't even worry. They're two massive home games, and hopefully, you know, they don't have a reaction against us, because we saw from Everton when they first got the deduction, the sort of siege mentality of, you know, us against the world. It's died down a little bit now because obviously, you know, it's not as fresh. They're not as in danger and perilous as they once were when they first got that -10. But it's interesting to see what will happen for Luton. You know, they must be thinking, oh my goodness, if only we could have held on against Bournemouth when we went 3-0.
Why did you just hold on against Bournemouth, honestly?
It's as simple as that. Why didn't you simply not concede 4 goals when you were 3-0 up? I mean, it's not that hard. That being
Watch
said,
us go and lose 4-3 to Blades at the weekend or next week.
Oh my God. Yeah, my head will be, I don't know where. I don't know where, because we're literally safe, but it will be somewhere. Jack, it will be a fantastic relegation battle to watch, but thank goodness we're watching as neutrals, uninvolved.
For the second season running.
Yeah.
for the second season running. There is a point to be made here that if Forest do appeal, they could get a further points deduction. I'm not laughing at the situation. I just think it's just the whole thing's a bit ludicrous. And Forrest's statement, if you haven't read it, whew,
fiery.
Wowzers, trousers. I was blown away. I was like, well, read it. It's incredible. Joe, it's been an absolute marathon. 47 yeah. minutes, which is great because that's the sort of length you want a podcast. But for those watching on YouTube, like you do every week, thank you so much for sticking with us. It's been an absolute pleasure because we've beaten Spurs 3-0 and we just got to talk about the whole squad for about 45 minutes and about how good we are at football.
Yep, loved it. And let's keep the good vibes going. You know, there'll be more content when we're back next week, previewing that Sheffield United game, which we're very excited for. But Jack, it's been a pleasure. Thank you to everyone that has tuned in or listened or both. Really appreciate the support that we've been getting on the channel. And yes, come on you Whites, and fingers crossed we will have a nice international break and then come back for a massive win in our southern push for Europe.
Yes, I imagine on the podcast feed you will have a Thursday club before that game against Sheffield United with Sammy, Jack and Peter Utzler. For those watching on YouTube, thank you so much. For those listening on the podcast feed, thank you so much as well. This is the Jack and Joe Show. This is what we do every week on the YouTube channel. We just sit here and laugh and then talk about Fulham. Mm-hmm. Probably laughing comes first and then talk about Fulham comes second. We have a great time and we're really lucky to get to do this sort of thing. And thanks again to our sponsors, Green King, for making it all possible. Let's end it there. Joe, thanks so much for being here.
Cheers, Jack. Thanks everyone for watching and come on you Whites.
Isn't this beautiful? We didn't even mention the fact that Brentford lost to Burnley at the weekend. We didn't even mention it. Imagine being a Brentford fan, losing to Burnley, only their second, I think, second home win of the season, and then just watching Fulham win 3-0 in the box. And Thomas Frank basically almost crying to the Brentford fans at halftime to make more noise. That was me on Saturday, but I was having to hold my ears. I was like, this is too much noise. That actually is a funny story because one of the first games I ever went to, I told my dad it was too loud in the Johnny Haynes stand and that I was scared. I was like,
that is so funny because in my first game, I was in the Johnny Haynes stand and I fell asleep and missed six goals.
Which game was it? Sorry.
We played Birmingham at home and I think it was 4-2 to Birmingham and Heskey and Robbie Savage were playing and I genuinely fell asleep at 0-0. I woke up as we were leaving and I'd missed six goals. So obviously there was a raucous atmosphere in the Johnny Haynes that meant that I missed it. But still got the bug, didn't I?
Yeah, honestly. The best bug in the world, which is Fulham-itis. We'll be back next week to preview Sheffield United. For now, guys, thanks very much for watching. And bloody hell, come on Fulham.